Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
Here's the question that I need you to answer for yourself. You don't have to raise your hand, and the reason I say that is because most people probably would not be honest with this question. And here's the question. Have you ever felt like God is distant? See, that's why I didn't want you to raise your hand, because most people want to act like, no, I'm good with God. I got everything I need. But on the inside, we feel like, God, where are you? Maybe some of you felt like God does not care about your day-to-day life or the struggles that you're in. Maybe you're impression of God is that he's this far off, distant cosmic being that is just there to make sure that all of the rules are followed. And if you don't break the rule, if you do break the rules, he's just waiting to punish you, to smash you down. A few months ago, I took my middle daughter to a basketball game. She was playing Pope High School, which is about 45 minutes away from the church. So I immediately left service and started driving that way so that I could get there on time. When I pulled up to the school, I found out that for some reason, the parking lot was completely empty. And I thought, this is weird. So I got out of the car and I went up to the gym doors. I rattled the doors only to find out the gym was locked. And I thought, this is really weird. Come to find out, we were playing Pope High School, but we were not playing at Pope High School. The wrong information took me to the wrong place. How many of you understand wrong information will land you in the wrong destination? Why don't you just turn to the person next to you and say, the wrong information will land you at the wrong destination. The reason I bring that to you is because some of us have the wrong information concerning God. And if our information is wrong, it'll land us in the wrong place. There are some people that never experience the fullness of who God is or what God wants to accomplish for them because they have terrible information on him. So today I want to deal with, who is God? As we close out this series on the book of John, we're going to be answering that question, who is God really? And we're going to start with John, the first chapter, verse 1. If you have your Bible, you can turn it there. If not, you can follow along on the screens. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now he's giving some information about this Word. He's saying the Word is a He. He was in the beginning with God. All things, somebody say all things. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Then in verse 14, he shows us something very interesting. He says the Word, the same Word that was with God in the beginning, the same Word that was God, the same Word that created all things, became flesh and dwelt among us. John says, we saw him. We experienced him. If you read his letter in 1 John, he's like, man, this is not a myth. We actually spent some time with this man, and I want you to know that this man is God who's always been. You need to know Jesus is not a created being. He has always eternally existed as God. He says, now that Word has taken on flesh and chosen to live among us. We've seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Somebody say grace and truth. I brought this lamp with me today. This is a lamp that I keep in my office here at the church because I hate fluorescent lights. Does anybody else hate fluorescent lights? I do. And so I have a lamp like this that I can turn on. It bounces off the ceiling and it gives me a nice, calm, soothing environment to study, to pray. And so I brought this lamp to show it to you today. But here's the problem. If I wanted to turn it on right now from this position, I wouldn't be able to do it because the cord can't reach. The only way this lamp can serve its purpose to light a room is for this cord to be plugged into that wall. The problem is it won't reach. Somebody say it won't reach. And so what I brought with me is one of these. Anybody know what this is? Say it out loud. It's an extension cord. What's amazing about an extension cord is you can take the object, the lamp, you can plug it into the extension cord, and then you can run this cord all the way back to the power source. And once it's plugged in, then this lamp can serve its purpose. Then this lamp can do what it was designed by the Creator to do. Are you following me so far? What John is showing us in his letter is that Jesus came to connect heaven and earth. In other words, there is a place that you could not get on your own, and so he became the bridge. He became the connection place between God and man. He became the connector between Creator and creation so that what is in God can now flow through you. I want to say that again. Jesus came so that the life that is God and the life that flows from God can now flow through you. In John 10:10, Jesus says, I came. You want to know my purpose? You want to know my function? I came so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Another way to look at that is, he's saying, I came so that you could have the life of God in such a way that it overflows you. But see, Jesus doesn't just connect us to the Father. Jesus doesn't just connect us to the source of life. He also reveals the nature of the Father to us. As a matter of fact, he tells them in John 14, if you have seen the Father, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. They're like, hey, Jesus, why don't you just show us the Father? And if you show us the Father, then we'll know what's up. And he's like, are you serious? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. You want to know what the Father sounds like? You want to know what type of things the Father is saying? Listen to what I'm saying. You want to know what the Father is interested in? Then just watch what I'm doing, because I am actually revealing the nature of the Father to you. You know, I heard someone say one time, I like Jesus, but I don't really know how I feel about God. And maybe you felt that way. Like growing up, you read the stories and you're like, I can get down with the Jesus guy because I see a lot of grace and love and mercy, but I'm not really sure about God the Father. What you need to understand is Jesus is a perfect picture of the Father. He reveals to us who the Father is. He reveals to us what the Father would do. In him, we see the nature of who he is. Are you following me so far? And he reveals the Father to us by becoming a human being. That should blow your mind. The one who created all things left all things to step into a broken world and live as a man. Why? So that you could be connected to him. When we talk about the humanity of Christ, I think sometimes our understanding of that is a little bit skewed. Because like when I was younger, I kind of saw it as like Superman. Y'all remember Superman? He came from one planet, and then he came to Earth, and he put on a disguise, which was basically a pair of glasses. I mean, it's like I was watching Superman 2 last night, and Lois is questioning him, like, Clark, are you really Superman? He's like, no, it's not. I'm not Superman. I'm just Clark. And she's like, no, I know it's got to be you. And he goes, takes his glasses off. And she's like, I knew it was you. Like, wow. But the big idea is this Superman came to Earth and disguised himself as a man. He made himself seem weak. He made himself seem vulnerable, but he never really was. He was never a man. He was always fully Superman. There's one scene in Superman 2 where he's walking through the room and he trips because Clark Kent is clumsy. And when he falls, his hand goes into the fire. And he has to pull it out really quickly and act like he's hurt. Why? Because he's wanting to keep up the appearance that he's a man, although he is actually Superman. He didn't feel that pain. That's not Jesus. Jesus didn't come to disguise himself as a man. Jesus came and became a man. God took on flesh. He's fully God, but at the same time, he is fully human, which means he understands us. He knows what it's like to be you. Think about that. He didn't just create you. Now he understands what it's like to be you. Jesus knows what it's like to be hungry and need food. Jesus knows what it's like to be thirsty and need a drink. Jesus knows what it's like to get tired and need a nap. Did you know that taking a nap can be one of the most holy things that you could ever do in your life? Amen. I believe that, man. I am down for the nap. And Jesus took a nap. Jesus had real authentic relationships with people. And some of those people he had relationships with broke his heart. See, sometimes we think, well, God doesn't know what I'm going through. He doesn't know how I feel when that person did that to me. And Jesus is like, I know exactly what you're dealing with because I dealt with it myself. When he hung on the cross, he felt every bit of that pain. He was fully God, but he became fully man. Why? So that he could understand you and reconnect you. I need you to understand that Jesus is very relatable. He's not this far-off, distant cosmic being that you cannot get to or communicate with or have an experience with. He's right there with you, wherever you are. The Bible says that he never leaves you, never forsakes you. Doesn't matter how high you go or how low you go, he is always there. Even when you don't feel like he's there, you need to know that he actually is there. This week I was at a retreat with pastors, and on one of the nights they had this high-end counselor come in that deals with high-capacity leaders. And his talk with us was centered around the love of the Father, which is huge. There's a lot of people who talk about the love of God, but never really fully receive the love of God, because again, it goes back to wrong information. There's a lot of people that have father wounds in their life that have a hard time believing that God is a good father, because their picture of what a father is totally scarred. And that's the counselor's story. When he was a kid, his father abused him, talked down to him. His father said, I wish I would have let your mom abort you. Caused a lot of pain in his life. So he's talking to us about understanding the Father's love. And one of the exercises that he does, he says, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to imagine yourself coming into a room. As you enter the room, I want you to see a couch, and I want you to go sit on this couch. As you're sitting there, I want you to picture Jesus coming into the room and sitting down on the couch with you. Then he asks, how is Jesus responding to you? Is he turning his back to you? Is he giving you the cold shoulder? Or is he embracing you and speaking kindly to you? He asks, what kind of things is Jesus speaking to you right now? Is it words of encouragement, words of love, or is it words of condemnation? And here's why that's important. Because whatever you are seeing and sensing is how you view God to be. If you view God to be this person that's out to get you, or if you view him as someone who's just waiting for you to slip up, then if you are in a place in your life to where you don't feel like you've got it all together, then you're going to experience this Jesus on the couch that is avoiding you. But see, that goes back to the wrong information is leading you to that place. You need to know that Jesus is not avoiding you. He actually comes directly to you. He left, listen to this, he left the comforts of heaven where everything was great to step into this broken world with broken humanity to build relationship. That's what the gospel writers are wanting us to see. They're wanting us to see that God is relatable, that God cares, that God loves you. Do you know what John's favorite way to describe himself in his letter is? The one who Jesus loved. When he talks about himself in his gospel, he refers to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. What you need to know is that is not an exclusive statement. You are the one that Jesus loved, and you need to start seeing yourself that way. I am the one that Jesus loved. He loves me, and he's got an amazing plan for me, and there is nothing I can do to mess that up. But see, if we don't know that, if we don't understand that, then we end up running from this God who is not only relatable, but he's making himself available to us. In John 4, John tells the story about Jesus going to Samaria to meet with the woman at the well. And he adds this interesting detail. And anytime the Scripture gives us a detail, we should pay attention because it's there for a reason. And here's the detail. He says that Jesus goes to the well and it was the heat of the day. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't do anything when it's hot. The only thing you will see me doing when it's hot, if I have a choice, is floating in a body of water that is much cooler than the surrounding environment. When I was at that retreat this week, they had all kinds of amazing things. You could go saltwater fishing. You could go freshwater fishing. You could shoot clay pigeons. You could play pickleball. They had frisbee golf. They had golf simulator. I mean, you name it, it was there for us to do. You know what I did? Nothing. You know why? Because it was all outside and the heat index was 111 degrees. The point is, if it's hot, I'm not doing it. Yet Jesus, in the heat of the day, in an inconvenient moment, goes to the well to meet with a woman, which is a no-no. In their time, you didn't just go talk to women. Not only is she a woman, she's a woman from Samaria. And if you've been here for the past few weeks, you know that Jews avoided Samaritans. As a matter of fact, if they were traveling, they would go out of their way to bypass Samaria because they hated them so much. So Jesus is doing something that is socially unacceptable, and he's doing it at an inconvenient time. And not only is she a woman from Samaria, but she's got a messed up life. She is messy, and Jesus says, I've got to go there. Why? Because he wants to help her. He's not running from her. He's running to her. See, sometimes we think that because of our mess, God is just like nowhere near. It's almost like, you know, we hear that Jesus came from heaven to earth in the flesh, and once he got here, it was like, whoa, this place is a lot messier than I thought it would be. That's not what happened. He knew what kind of a mess you were before he came. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, he knew you by name. He knew the mess and the junk that would be in your life. He knew the things that you have done that would separate you from God. And he willingly chose to come and be the connector for you to come back to the Father. But if you don't know that, it'll land you in the wrong place. I know a guy that, you know, he was in and out of church. And if you asked him if he loved God, he would say, yes, I love God. And he could give you all the biblical stuff that most Christians could say. You know, he knew the memory verses, yada, yada. But he never got involved in church. And here's why. He said, there are things about me that need to be fixed first. Once I fix them, then I'll go to church. And maybe you felt that way before, like, man, there's some mess in my life that I need to fix, and I need to get this right before I go to church, because if I go in there, man, who knows? God's up there obviously with some lightning bolts, and he may be sending them my way. And so I want to fix myself before I get into a bad situation. And once I clean myself up, then I'll go to church. Then I'll start sitting on the front row, you know, because that's where the holy people sit. You want to know the level of sin? It grows as you get to the back. I'm just kidding with you. But you understand what I'm saying? Like, that's how we feel. We feel like I'm so aware of the junk in my life that there's no way that God could accept me like this. And that's backwards thinking. The gospel does not present a God that runs from your sin. It presents a gospel of a God who runs to you because of your sin. And he's relatable, and he's available, and he's approachable because he understands what it's like to be you. Let me show you this in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 15. The Bible says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. Let's pause right there. Jesus is the ultimate high priest. And what the writer is telling us is we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. Why? Because he knows what it's like to be you. He's dealt with the things that you deal with. It says, we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect, somebody say every. That means in every way. He has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, here's how we should respond based upon that news. Let us then with confidence. How? With how? With how? Say it one more time because it's starting to feel good. How? With confidence. Let us draw near with confidence. Not bashfully, not expecting him to judge us, not crawling in like a worm, but confidently with boldness we can approach the throne of grace. Why? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In your weakness, you can approach him. In your pain, you can approach him. In your rejection, you can approach him. And he's there to help. That's why he went to the woman in the well, at the well. He didn't go there to condemn her and to point out everything that she's doing wrong. He went to her because he loved her and wanted to help her. When I was a teenager, my dad rented one of those big dumpsters. Y'all ever seen those before? And he had it put at the house. And here's what he told us. He said, anything that you don't want, throw it away. Anything that you've been like shoving into a closet or under your bed to get it out of sight, if you don't need it and you don't want to look at it, throw it away. And can I tell you how therapeutic that is? To get rid of all the stuff that you've been hanging on to that you don't really want, the things that you don't really care about, the things that have just become clutter in the closet. You can finally go, oh, what a relief. I've got a clean space. I don't know about you, but that does something for my soul to experience a clean space. That's how you should view your relationship with God and prayer. He's given you an invitation to bring it all to the dump and to throw it there. He's giving you the invitation to bring whatever it is that you've been trying to shove away so that no one can see. Yeah, bring those things to me. Put it in the dumpster so that we can actually deal with it. Because just because it's out of sight doesn't mean it's out of life. I want to say that one more time. Just because it is out of sight does not mean it is out of life. That one deserves a third time. Just because it is out of sight does not mean it is out of life. And you know what we do so many times? We take the stuff that's messed up in our life and we try to shove it away where no one sees it. We try to look the part, dress the part, act the part, speak the part. How are you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored, but on the inside we're broken and jacked up. And faith is not acting like everything's okay until it becomes okay. Faith is getting honest about who you are and realizing that God can change who you are, that he can actually transform you, that he can take you from brokenness and make you whole. But the only way that works is to bring those things to God and not try to hide them from him. It's bringing it to the dumpster. It's getting honest with him. It's believing that he can give you rest if you'll just bring it to him. Do you know why I love the Psalms? Because you get a picture of honest prayer. You get people who are coming to God with all of their complaints and their frustrations. You get pictures of people who are actually saying, God, where are you? This doesn't make sense. I've tried to do everything right, and you seem far away from me, while everyone who's doing everything wrong seems to be blessed. There's very short spots in the Psalms where they're actually using their time of prayer to make a request. Should we make a request during prayer? Absolutely. But it's also a space like the dumpster to bring all of the garbage, all of the pain, all of the hurt, and to be honest with it, I'm not trying to hide it. This is how I feel right now, God. I am broken and I feel like I'm sinking. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know if I can get my head above water. I feel like I'm drowning and I feel like you don't care. And God says, good, now we can get somewhere. Now we can get somewhere. Because if you'll just trust me, I'm going to work some things out in you. I may feel distant, but I'm not distant. I'm with you in every situation. I'm with you in every season. I'm with you in those moments that do not make sense, and I'm going to bring you through it. And when you come through it on the other side, you're going to look back and say, thank you, Lord. I'm glad I walked through that because it was that that knocked some things off of me that I didn't need to carry with me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of the things that we go through in life humbles us enough to chisel away the pride in our life. I am thankful to God that he has allowed me to go through some of the things and some of the seasons that I've walked through. When I first started this church, we didn't have more than 15 people. And that was a regular occasion. Now, understand, I came from a very large church that did very large ministry. So for me to stand in front of 15 people was very humbling to me because I taught children's classes that were much larger than the church I pastored. And it's not like there was an immediate change. And I remember going to my dad's office one day and saying, Dad, I don't know if I'm called to do this. I feel like giving up. I don't even feel like God is helping me in this situation. But now, I look back and I see God was with me in those moments and he was working on me, preparing me to do what he's called me to do. I'm thankful for the pressure because the pressure strengthens me. I'm thankful for the moments I've gone through because it shows me the faithfulness of God. I love that old Andre Crouch song that he used to sing. Whew. How would I know that God is good unless I've experienced his goodness? How would I know that God is a healer unless I've experienced his healing? How would I know that God's a deliverer unless I've experienced something I needed deliverance from? He's there. He's with us. So when you have problems, you don't have to run from him. You run to him. And if there's something in you that needs to shift and change, he will shift and change it. Not because of the rules, but because of the relationship. Can I say that again? The rules do not change anyone. That's what God shows us through the Old Testament. He shows us all the rules that he put into place to show us our weakness and our inability to follow the rules. And he's like, you'll never change based upon the rules or the law. You will change when you come into relationship with me. And when you have a relationship with me, then your heart changes. And that's what's going to change. Then you'll abide by the rules. Did you know, this week I will celebrate 20 years of marriage to the same woman. It's amazing. No. And I was thinking about this early this morning because I have, to this point, I've been faithful in my marriage for all 20 years. And it's not because we had a ceremony. It's not because we made some vows where we go, you know, for better or worse, sickness and health. It's not because she put a ring on my finger. It's not because there are rules surrounding relationship, even biblically, or how you should act or not act as a married couple. That is not why I follow the rules. The reason I have been faithful to my wife is because I love her and I have a relationship with her. I desire to be the right thing for her. Does that make sense to you? It's not because I don't think that there's any other pretty woman out there or I'm, you know, got all this stuff together. No, it has nothing to do with that. I'm a man. I'm a human being. But I'm able to do what I'm supposed to do because I have a relationship with someone that I love. That's what God is inviting us into, is this place of relationship and love. Not a place where he's going to condemn you, but a place where he's going to heal you and strengthen you. You know, there's a verse that everybody in here probably can quote from memory. It's probably one of the first ones that you learned as a child. It's found in John, the third chapter. John 3:16 says this, for God so what? What's that word? Loved. For God so loved the world. Now let's stop there, because this is where I had an issue for a while. It was very easy for me to accept the fact that God loved the world. But it was more challenging for me to realize that I was a part of that world that he loved. So the way I see this now is God loved me enough. And I want to challenge you to start seeing it that way. For God so loved Martin. For God so loved Alex. For God so loved Trinity. For God so loved Jim. Put your name there. For God so loved you. What did he do in response to his love? He gave his only son. Why? So that whoever believes in him doesn't have to perish or waste away, but you can experience eternal life. And that is more than just a final destination. We can actually experience the life of God right now. Why? Because Jesus came as the connector to connect us to the Father so that what is in him can flow through us. And then verse 17, watch this, because this is the one that most of us drop off. It says, for God did not, this is Jesus speaking, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. But how many of us have that kind of picture? That God is out to get us. He says, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came in order that the world might be saved. I came so that you can experience life. I came so that you could be rescued. I came so that you could be brought out. I've reconnected you to the Father who loves you, who cares for you, who's available to you. But here's the most beautiful part. He doesn't just connect us to the Father. Now the life of the Father flows in us, which means not only was Jesus the connector between heaven and earth, but now you are a connection point between heaven and earth. I am not saying you are God in flesh. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying the Bible teaches that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And so now you have an opportunity, just like Jesus, when you go into your world, you can release his kingdom. People always say, what's my purpose? We buy books to learn our purpose. Your purpose is very simple. Here it is. Release the kingdom of God everywhere where you go. When you're at a gas station, release the kingdom. Yesterday, I was driving into a gas station. Somebody was following close behind me, and they kind of whipped around me and treated me like an idiot. And the first thing I wanted to do was get out and say, hey, let's have a conversation. And I immediately thought, does that release the kingdom or does that release chaos? See, that's how our brain should work. Am I participating in the kingdom or am I participating in the world system? And realize I have an opportunity here to take everything that I have experienced from God and now release it back to His creation. The love I feel, I release. The mercy I feel, I release. The forgiveness I feel, I release. Do you realize we will change this world if we just start living that way? Understanding that we have an identity. Here's our identity. You are a child of God, loved by God, and He has a plan for your life. Someone should write this down. This is good stuff. Your identity is you are a child of God, loved by God, and He has a plan for your life. You have a purpose. Here's your purpose: to bring the kingdom of God in every situation in your life. And you have an assignment. What's your assignment? Be a dad. Be a mom. Be a grandparent. Be a teacher. Be a hairstylist. Be a business owner. And here's the thing. Through life, your assignments will change, but your purpose never does. If you don't know that, you'll lose yourself because you changed assignments. Sometimes we attach our identity and our purpose to an assignment, and it's not there. Our identity is in Christ. Our purpose is to participate in His kingdom. Our assignments change. Somebody needs to hear that because things have shifted in your life, and you were so tied into the thing that you used to do, and you're no longer doing it, and you feel like, who am I anymore? You're a child of God, loved by God, and He's got a plan for your life. And this next assignment can be just as great, if not even better, than your previous assignment. So step into it with gratitude. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.